Well, good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you. There are pictures. Last week, we had Christmas. It's only just been Christmas, in fact. It is 6 days since Christmas. So, if we were doing the 12 days of Christmas, what would be happening today? Seven swans are swimming, because Christmas Day is the first day of Christmas and Epiphany isn't. You're over by then. So there we go. And this Sunday is known as Christmas 1 in the church. It can move around a bit depending what day Christmas was on, and today is about the furthest away from Christmas it is. So we're very much still in the Christmas season. Our gospel reading only had one verse in it that wasn't in our Christmas readings. We're that close to Christmas. And then before that we had a reading from Galatians, which is also very Christmassy because we hear about Jesus born of a woman. But it also talks a bit further away about other things. It goes on about God sending his Holy Spirit into our hearts, which gives us a great leap forward to May the 20th next year, which will be Pentecost. So actually, amazingly, our Galatians reading brings together Christmas and Pentecost. But what most people are thinking about today, and it certainly happens between now and Pentecost, is the new year. That's what is happening. We're celebrating it this very evening, and some of us might even stay up long enough to hear Big Ben toll and all those fireworks and exciting things like that, to see 2018 in. New Year's Eve can be a really good time, as Marion's been saying, to think about things, to think about how we live our lives. Some of us are very good at thinking about things as we go along. Other people, maybe not so good, just do the thing in front of you. But actually, this is a time where, for most of us, we think, oh, okay, let's take some time. And I hope that what I've drawn from the readings today will be helpful in that. I've kind of drawn three words from our readings, though one word is a bit of a cheat because it's kind of two words. So I want to talk about contrasts. I want to talk about unexpected, not tales of thee. And I want to talk about extraordinary. Extraordinary. So let's start with contrasts. And first of all, look at the Christmas story there. On Christmas Day, when we were here, we had the whole of the reading about the angels coming to the shepherds, rather than just jumping in after the angels had just left, which we did today, which kind of assumed we knew what had happened. So if you remember, an angel had appeared to the shepherds, and then a bit later, a whole multitude of the heavenly host, and they had sung glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth. Great things, glory and peace. But also quite a contrast to each other, if you think about it. An angel appearing would have been shocking and scary and awesome, maybe when you'd got over the scary bit. Did the scary bit go away immediately? The angel said, "Fear not." I don't suppose so. It wasn't very peaceful to have those angels, especially when the whole multitude of them came along afterwards. Even more amazing, lots of singing, all about the glory of God. Wonderful stuff, amazing. The shepherds would never have been the same again if it had just been that moment of encounter with the angels, regardless of everything else that carried on, but not very peaceful. They're singing about something that is different from what they're doing, in a way. You see the glory, you see the loud and the dramatic. But when they talk about peace, they're talking about something which calms the loud and dramatic in our lives, when that's the wrong sort of loud and the wrong sort of drama. Peace on earth, goodwill to all people, wonderful things. Peace is the message of the angels, however gloriously they proclaimed it. And it had been the prophet's message in times past. Look out for the Messiah coming, the Prince of Peace. And later Jesus himself said that he would bring a peace that the world could not bring. So there we have contrasts, glory and peace, both wonderful but different. And then another contrast, which comes a bit later in the reading from today, is when we look at how people went about things, how the shepherds went about things, and how Mary went about things. The shepherds had heard a message that had filled them with awe, and they'd heard a message which would have been a bit of a surprise, but still they didn't hesitate. They hurried to Bethlehem and they went to see what had happened that the angels had just told them about. And that's one reaction to God's stuff. Get excited, be eager, hurry, don't wait around. And that's great. And then there's another reaction as well, and that's Mary's. She sees all that's going on. She takes it in. She ponders it, treasuring the good things and waiting and wondering about the things that are beyond her. Surely knowing that God is big and trusting in him as she ponders. So there's another contrast. Hurrying and pondering. Hold on to these sorts of contrasts. Glory and peace. Hurry and pondering. We can get to know the awesome God. He is worthy of our praise. He is glorious. We can dare to crave his presence, to know God's glory, God who calls us. And that's life-changing. And it can go on being life-changing. And then we can know the peace of God. That's beyond what the world can offer. And it comes at times that the world couldn't understand why we could have peace at that time. It's from God who is the source, God who is the ground of our being. It too is life-changing and can go on being life-changing. Then the shepherds hurrying and shouting all about God's work. They're telling anybody who would listen on their way back. And Mary pondering all these things and treasuring them in her heart. Sometimes are hurry and shouting times, and sometimes are pondering times. And we do well not to miss either of those. We'll get those sorts of contrasts in our lives, lots of other contrasts as well. When things can be approached in different ways, or when one moment was one way and the next moment was another way, or when we've got something glorious that we're happy about and somebody else has got something devastating that is just knocked them over. These things are contrasts, but they're still held. We mustn't think that they're not valid, one or the other, because they're so different from each other. We can find God and work with God in all the contrasts of our lives. That's something to take into the new year ahead, something about contrasts, even when they seem to pull in different directions. Then a second word, unexpected. There was plenty that was unexpected about the Christmas story. You just need to start with an angel. And then Mary, who's going to have a baby unexpectedly. And then a journey to Bethlehem. And then more angels. And then the shepherds appearing. And then later on, the wise men who appeared. All sorts of unexpected things. God was working through all those unexpected things. Those are the good things. Actually, there were some other things which were tough things, which we read about. Even in those parts of the story which surely were not God's primary plan, like the slaughter of the innocents because of Herod being so full of fear, the message of Christmas is still there, that God is with us, unexpectedly with us, even in the most devastating parts of our lives. God is with us. That was true then. It remains true now. And we have Paul, who talks about something rather unexpected in Galatians. He's talking about God with us, but we can miss, as people in Britain looking back on that reading all these thousands of years later, what was so unexpected about what Paul was saying. Because Paul was a good Jew, and he was born a Jew. There were signs that he was a Jew, like his circumcision. He was taught as a Jew. He was instructed in the law. He went on to train as an expert more than other Jews did. He knew who he was, and he knew that he was in. He was one of the chosen. As a Jew, he was one of God's children, not those others who were out. Others were not in. They were not part of the chosen. So he was one of God's children. Others were in the dark. But Jesus had changed all that, and Paul had come to realize that Jesus had changed all that. He talks about Jesus' birth. He talks about how Jesus was born as a Jew, had all the signs of being a Jew. He was circumcised on the eighth day. But all of these things were actually opening the way to others. Now, instead of people like Paul being chosen by birth, being God's people just because of who they were, where they were born, God had made a way for everyone to be on the same footing. There was no more them and us, no more barrier between. Jesus had opened the way for all people to be adopted as children of God, and all people to have the Holy Spirit living in them, enabling everybody to say Abba, Father, to be God's children, whether they were born a Jew or not. And that's great, and that's great for us, but actually we miss how unexpected that was for Paul, who all his life, up until a little while back, had seen it very differently. And he had lost something in that. He had lost one way of seeing himself, of seeing things. He had had to work on finding the good thing that God had done for so many more people. It was very much unexpected from his point of view. But isn't it wonderful what God did through the birth of Jesus and through the death and resurrection of Jesus? So there's an unexpected thing that Paul was facing, and a wonderful thing. We will have unexpected things in the year ahead. God is with us in those, in the good things and in the really hard things. The Holy Spirit can be in us. As Christians, the Holy Spirit is there to give us comfort and wisdom and the knowledge of God's presence and the ability to call out, Abba, Father, to recognize that God is that close to us, however things are looking. So in the unexpected, God is with us. Finally, that cheat word, extraordinary or extraordinary. I'm struck that the one verse we had as a new verse for this morning in our gospel reading, it just sort of sits there as a single verse on its own about something that happened. Just before that, we'd had all those things, the angels and the promises and the journeys and the shepherds and the wise men would come along a bit later anyway. But Mary and Joseph had seen plenty of the extraordinary stuff. Everything had been extraordinary. But 8 days later, there is the naming ceremony. And it all fits there in that one verse. No big fanfare, no extra people, no angels, no sign of God. In a sense, no extra at all. It's just Mary and Joseph. And being obedient and giving the baby a name which didn't match the names used in either of their families, but it was the name that the angel had told them. Just ordinary stuff happening with no fanfare. Like so many other children at that time, it would have happened to them. And there would go on being extraordinary things, surely. But God was there just as much in the ordinary, in the obedience of that day. 8 days later. Some of the year ahead might be extraordinary for us. We may love that, or we may not. It may be that in the extraordinary, you're most able to see God and know his presence. Or it may be that actually the extraordinary kind of throws you a bit. We're all different like that. But the extraordinary may come, and that may come for us as individuals and for us as a church. Some of the things that we are looking forward to as a church, we hope will be extraordinary as God enables us to be saints on the move in our next steps. We would love to see extraordinary things happening in Ripley. Yes, please, God. But there will also be plenty that is ordinary. Just getting on with the next steps, step by step, in faith and in obedience. That's for us as individuals. That will be for us as a church as well. And God is just as much there in the ordinary as in the extraordinary. So I'm going to stop there, nearly. Just want to give us a moment to ponder. We come to God with contrasts in our lives and in our experience. Just ponder about those, where you might be able to hold two very different things together, because God helps you to do that. We come with unexpected things that may have already happened, or that we may be fearful would happen, or we just don't know because they're unexpected. Let's come to God with those, offering how we are and asking for faith to step forward into them and to see him in them. And then we come with the extraordinary and the ordinary. And let's just bring that to God as we go into this new year, saying to him, do what you will, whether it's extraordinary or whether it's very ordinary, and I will seek you and I will follow you and I will find you in all of that, and ask God to make himself known in all of that. So I'm just going to pause a moment and let us ponder a while as we head into this new year after this evening. Loving God, Abba, Father, we thank you that you are here with us. We thank you that you hold us in the contrasts of life and enable us to hold the contrasts of life. We thank you that you are here in the expected and in the unexpected, in the ordinary as well as the extraordinary. We pray that we would know you, that we would know you to be our glorious God and our loving Father, and that we would know your peace and your presence. So help us, enliven us, and give us your peace as we need it at different times in different ways as we head into this year. We pray for your presence to be real to us. We pray your blessing on ourselves and those we love and on our church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.